Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We've been in a series on reviving and revival and revival now. And we talked about the fervency of spirit in relationship to revival. And this morning I want to talk about reviving fervent prayer. There's one thing that I've discovered, and you probably have too, during this season, where the enemy has felt like he has open range and open door to attack anybody and everybody he wants to. How many of you know the devil knows his day is time is short? And he's after people's lives to destroy them. And he thinks he can just come in and do whatever he wants, make havoc in our lives. I've got good news for you. If you'll breathe the name and stand upon the name of the Lord and the Word of God, the enemy will have to leave you alone. Amen. And I've discovered that one of the things that he is attacking the most, the devil is attacking the most, is the prayer life of the saints. He's trying to get us so oppressed, depressed, obsessed with what's going on in the world that it affects our prayer life. And when it affects our prayer life, it affects our faith life in relationship to what God wants to do in the earth. How many of you found the enemy has been attacking your prayer life more than you've ever experienced before in your life? There are hands all over. Yep, so you're not alone in what you understand. Because I've experienced this as well, that the enemy wants to take away fervent prayer. See, the devil doesn't care if you just throw things off into the air and hope that they might take place. But when it comes to fervent prayer before the throne of God and the face of God, the devil hates that kind of prayer. And he will do everything he can to attack it and to destroy it and to stop fervent prayer. So I want to address the reviving of fervent prayer. We're going to go to Ephesians 1 because that's where we've started our series out of Ephesians 1, verse 10. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, somebody say, this is the dispensation. See, the dispensation is a time of managing the house or governing the house of God. How many of you understand that God is governing his house? All right? He's governing the children of God. And remember this, you are his house. So he comes to rule the house. All right? In this dispensation of the fullness of times, the fullness of times has to do with the set time of God's favor, the completion of a season. Now, I've got good news for you that the season that we are walking in will come to an end. But I see it coming to an end in this way. I see it coming to an end with the rapture of the church. All right? Most of us are saying, I want things back the way they were. They're never going to be back the way they were. Because even in the midst of the worst, God will make you, as a believer, things happen for you, the best. The best is yet to come. Oh, you got to hear this from the Spirit of God. I'm not a doomsday preacher or anything like that, but I do believe that we need to be aware of the signs of the times that we live in. I mean, we ought to go to our Bibles and study a little bit more about what hell is like. And if we understood from the Scripture a little bit more what hell is like, it ought to fire us up to get on fire for God to make sure that we're on our way to heaven. I don't want anybody who's ever been under the sound of my voice of preaching the Word of God to miss out in the rapture. I want to see them in heaven. Come on, somebody. But there are things going down that ought to rattle us, shake us, and fire us up. See, we need to see how God sees this season. All right? Romans 12, 11, we preach there a little bit, where the Bible says, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, what the devil wants to do is pour water on your fire. Hello.
Amen.
He wants to pour water, ice water. It's like the devil's been made, and you know, he's been challenged with the ice bucket challenge. And he wants to pour it on your spirit, on the altar of your heart, to get the fire of your heart to go out. Elijah on Mount Carmel faced that, and he told his servants, come on, pour water on this altar. Because water, this water of the enemy, the water that would normally put out fire, isn't going to be able to stop the glory of God. And that when I call out of heaven, the fire of God's going to come. And the fire, come on somebody, hallelujah. And the fire of God's going to hit that altar and not only lick up all the water, but consume the sacrifice on that altar. Elbow your neighbor and say, come on, that's fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Not lacking in diligence, but in fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Having a zeal, an intensity, a white-hot fire of God. The flowing and the glowing and the consuming of the fire of the Lord. The ardent passion. He said, we're to be serving the Lord with a fervent spirit. Now listen close to me, all right, close to this word. There's a tendency in the natural, in the spirit of this age. The spirit in which we are living right now, in the stresses and the pressures, there is a tendency to be complacent. There's a tendency, in other words, to let things take the place of our fire of God. There's a tendency to be lethargic. Lethargic is just having no motivation anymore. There's no excitement, no enthusiasm when it comes to the things of God because of the pressures on the earth. There's a tendency to be suppressed. That the enemy comes to suppress things, all right? There's a tendency to be indifferent. Indifferent. I'm going to address some things next Sunday. You don't want to miss next Sunday. I'm going to talk to you out of 2 Timothy. I'm going to talk to you about perilous times, but what are we supposed to do in perilous times? And I'm going to tell you what God's doing in this time. You don't want to miss next Sunday. You want to be here next Sunday. Elbow your neighbor and say, don't miss next Sunday. Amen. All right. Now, but watch this. To be indifferent. Oh, it's just going to blow over. It's happened before in our history. All this stuff is just going to go by the wayside, and we become indifferent to the things of the Spirit of God rather than on fire with the things of the Spirit of God. Come on, somebody. The devil wants to cause you to feel that way so that you won't pray. You won't seek his face. You won't cry out to him. Because an indifferent heart has nothing to cry out for. Come on. But a hungry heart has something to cry out for. For the Spirit of God. There's a natural tendency in this season to be inoculated by fear. Because fear's in the atmosphere. All right? Now, there's no fear in this atmosphere. I got good news for you that in this house, There is no fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. There's no fear here. So when the devil tries to throw it on you and inoculate you with it, you leave it at the door saying, you can't follow me. You can't go with me to my prayer closet. You can't go with me, fear, to the house of the Lord. Amen. There's a tendency to be fatigued emotionally and spiritually, mentally. How many of you would be honest and say, yeah, I feel the enemy trying to fatigue me mentally? Come on, there's so much junk being thrown at our minds that the devil's trying to fatigue us mentally and emotionally. When those two important parts of our spirit man, our natural man, get tuned into our spirit man, where the glory of the Lord fires us up, renews our minds, gets us excited. Come on, somebody. There's a tendency in this season to be weary in the struggle, weary in the battle. When is this ever going to end? When is it going to stop? The devil makes us question everything. Hello, are you here? Am I preaching to the right people? Are you listening on live stream? Are you hearing this? Because this is the word of the Lord. There's a tendency to be discouraged in heart. Discouraged in heart. There's a tendency to be depressed in mind. But the reality for the believer is this. The reality for you and I is fervency of spirit in relationship with God. And no matter what is going on around you, what is going on inside of you by the Holy Ghost is more important than what the devil's trying to do or say or discourage or whatever. Because thus says the Lord to your inner man, you will overcome, you will conquer, you will rise up. I am the joy of your heart, and my joy is your strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The fervent in spirit, the zeal, the ardency of heart, fervent of spirit in a believer is where the Spirit of God is on fire inside of us. I want you to go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And I want you to see this importance of fervency. James chapter 5, verse 16. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, confess your trespasses, your faults, one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, here's what I want you to see. The effective, fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The fervent. See, this is where we live. This is where we're alive in the Spirit of God. He didn't say that the whining, complaining prayer of a righteous man has power. He didn't say that. He said the fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman has power. Now, if you go back to the original, this verse in the original Greek is written invertedly, all right? Invertedly. So when it's transferred into the English, it transfers some words the opposite way. Like effective, fervent prayer. When the emphasis is on the fervent prayer, because fervent prayer is effective. Come on, somebody. So you got to see the context tense and how this is put together. The original word in the English is used effectual, which is in the Greek the word energeo, and it means active or mighty fervent prayer. So fervent prayer has might and power and efficiency in it. It's got efficiency in it. How many of you ever felt insufficient when it comes to the things of God? There have been times I felt like, God, I'm insufficient for this or this thing or another thing. And the Holy Spirit has to remind me that it's not how I feel. It's what He says I am. Come on, somebody. And He says that when I fervently pray, my prayers are powerful and they are effective. Something is going to happen. Fervent prayer moves the heart of God because it came from the heart of God. Fervency, on fire with the Spirit of the Lord. Prayer is our petition, our supplication, our request. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But of a righteous man, in other words, one who is equitable in character, one who is innocent before God, one who is holy, one who is in right standing with the Father, one who's been born again through the blood of Jesus, one who has come to the throne of God and has accessed the Father. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Someone who's passed from death unto life, who comes before the throne of God and says, "Here I am, Father." I mean, you came here this morning to worship the Lord, and you tuned in on live stream today to worship the Lord with us, and by that you are saying, "Here I am, Father. Here I am, God. Here I am in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, light a fire inside of me that's going to change me, that will change the world." Amen. Elbow your neighbor and say, "That's good preaching." But now watch this. Put that scripture back up for me, would you please? Put that one back up. The fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Bible says, avails much. Look at that word, avails. Now I want you to see this. Because the Greek word is this. It is iskuo, and it means to exercise force. So fervent prayer exercises force against the powers of darkness. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violent, but the violent take it by force. In other words, the violent, the children of God, have gone to the throne of the Lord and have picked up the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and have gone after the powers of darkness, which avails much with the force of the anointing of the Word and the glory of God. Hallelujah. That fervent prayer has a force that the devil cannot stop. No demon of hell can stop it. No governmental law can stop it. Oh, you got to get this in your spirit. Can't stop it. It avails. There's more. Avails means it has the ability of God. Fervent prayer's got the ability of God on it. Lord, it's just not me praying my little blessing over my dinner or my nighty night go to night sleep time prayer. It's got the ability of God on it. When I fervently cry out to God, it has the might of the Spirit on it. Avails also means to prevail with strength and power, which makes whole. Hallelujah. I like the Amplified Bible says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, is able to accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God in its dynamic, and can have tremendous power. Tremendous power. The New Living says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Somebody say fervent. See, God's reviving fervent prayer. Now write this down. Fervent prayer is supernatural. It's supernatural because it goes beyond It occurs beyond the forces of the natural. That's how it defeats the forces of darkness. There's miraculous and divine force of control from heaven, heavenly rule that is released in fervent prayer. Fervent prayer carries an authority that says, God said it. Hallelujah. See, fervent prayer is supernatural. It is God manifesting His character and His nature in response to believers who release faith toward the Almighty God. Fervent prayer is Spirit-led prayer. Fervent prayer comes forth from the spirit of the inner man. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself. I'm thankful that I've got a Spirit Himself. Hello. Not a spirit myself. Come on. Not a spirit herself or their self or...
Come on now.
But we've got the Spirit Himself. The Spirit Himself doesn't doubt. The Spirit Himself doesn't waver. The Spirit Himself knows exactly what the will of the Lord is. All right? And He knows what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit Himself. It's supernatural. Now, I want you to write these things down. Write these down. All right? There are progressions of participatory prayer. This is a tongue twister. There are progressions of participatory prayer.
How do you spell it?
With a P. Several P's. But now watch this. Write this down. All right? Progression is moving forward in succession. That's called faith. Somebody say faith. We're moving forward in succession. All right? Participatory means to share in the action of relationship. So when we pray, we are sharing in the action of a relationship with Almighty God through which He does His work in the earth. Hallelujah. Are you getting that? All right. And prayer is that calling out to God or the communication part of fervent prayer. See, there's process of entering into the depths of God's presence and God's power. Write this down. Number one. Here's the first thing. Number one, fervent prayer starts out with conversational prayer. Conversational prayer. In other words, there's an access to the throne room of heaven simply by coming before the Lord and breathing His name. His name conversationally opens up a realm of the supernatural that we don't understand without the name of Jesus. Are you hearing this? The moment you say, "Hey, Jesus," access has been given to the throne of God. You may be just driving down the road and all you can say is, "Jesus, help. Jesus, help." The moment you open your mouth in conversation, then heaven opened up to the very throne of God where the supernatural power of the Lord can be released into your life and into your situation. Hallelujah. Are you here? Conversation Now, I'm going to pick it up a little bit here, but here we go. Conversation is to talk, is to converse. And converse means to be familiar with the one you are talking to. When you converse, means that in this relationship, there will be a receiving and a giving. It's not reverse, it's converse. In other words, it's the Spirit of God, from your spirit, speaking of the Spirit of God, and Him reciprocating back with an anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit. That starts out in conversation when you call on the name of Jesus. I've been breathing out Jesus' name a lot lately. Jesus. Heaven just stood up. Hallelujah. And He says, yes, because it's conversational. Hallelujah. It's to communicate. It's to pass along and make known information. It's to be connected with. The moment we call and say, Jesus, there's a connection that's opened. Conversational. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Luke 18:1. In illustration, listen to this. We need to talk to God more than we talk to others. And we need to talk to God more than we talk to ourselves. You know what I'm talking about. Something happens, you go, come on. But the moment you say Jesus, the name that's above every name, hello, all that other stuff will fall by the wayside. See, human nature, our carnal nature, wants to talk to others before we talk to God. And if you talk to others before you talk to God, the gossiper will spread the matter before you get a chance to talk to God about it. The enemy will want to take you under, see? Because there's power in our words. So when we talk to God about it first, He'll give us the answer. And there won't be a need to talk to somebody else, because we already got it from God Himself. I already heard the word of the Lord. I got my answer. Hallelujah. I don't need an opinion now. I don't need someone else to tell me what they think. I already got, thus says the Lord. He already told me. I conversed with Him and He told me. It's good preaching. Talk to the Heavenly Father first. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Go to Him first. Amen. The New Living says, give all your cares and worries to God. He cares for you. The Good News Version says, leave all your worries with Him because He cares for you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says this. It says, pray without ceasing. In other words, talk to Jesus without ceasing. I just had an interesting thought. But I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Lord, help me not go there. because you guys already went there ahead of me. But pray without ceasing. Converse with the name that's above every name, Jesus. What do you think about this, Jesus? Tell me what you would do here, Jesus. Talk to Jesus. The good news says pray at all times. Write this down, number two. The second progression of fervent prayer is petition prayer. It's petition. Now, petition means to be solemn, or it's an earnest plea. It's a request to an authority. Petition is a legal term. That when you legally in the courts of heaven, when you petition something in the courts of heaven, you've got the legal right to have the justice of heaven operate for you based on the word of promise and God's word that he's declared already, which is the ruling factor. Amen. You petition heaven. God, I'm bringing a petition before the throne of God. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to the word, the will of God, he hears us. He hears us. It's a given. Father, your word says, and he says, yes. Remind me of what I said. Because when you remind him of what he said, faith will jump up in your spirit, man. Because if two shall agree, if heaven and you shall agree together, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of God. We know that the legal petition we put before the throne of God has already been answered, because that petition was based on the promise and the rule and the governing of the word of God already. Hallelujah. And we know it's ours. Hallelujah. Petition. In faith believing, we know that we have. Jesus said, this is how you should petition me. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. And I'm just going to go through it quickly. You can read along if you want. In fact, let's do. Let's read together. In this manner, therefore, pray. Everybody. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. That isn't just a nice prayer to pray because it sounds good. That is a prayer of power. And I can't get into the depths of that, but let's go to point number three. Number three is there is supplication prayer. Fervent prayer goes from conversation prayer to petition prayer to supplication prayer. Supplication is a posture of the Spirit in the presence of the King. Supplication is to kneel down. It is to ask humbly. It is to make a humble request in prayer before God. Supplication is when we bow the knee and we humble our lives and we get rid of pride and we get rid of self and we kneel down before the Lord, our Maker, the God of of heaven and earth, and then petition Him and ask Him and request of Him. It is a very humble place to be in the presence of the Lord. God, I can't do this on my own. I've got to have your help. I must have your assistance. Your divine presence is needed in this matter, Father, and I supplicate before you. I humble myself before the King of Kings. Here's what the Word says in Philippians 4, 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Humble before the Lord. Ephesians 6:18 says it this way, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, humbling ourselves before the Lord. If I could do it myself, God, I would do it. And God says, that's good that you can't do it yourself, because I'm going to do it, but you got to ask me. You got to humble yourself. You got to bring that pride, though. Bring it down. What's powerful is that the Holy Spirit is the humbler. How many of you found that to be true? That the Holy Spirit, when you begin to converse with God, you begin to petition Him, that the Holy Spirit will bring a humbling of your heart in the presence of God for where He's about to take you in the depths of His glory. You can't get into fervency without a humble heart. Because otherwise we take the credit instead of giving credit to God. You got to hear this. You got to give the credit to God. Point number four in the progression of fervent prayer is intercession prayer. Intercession. Somebody shout intercession. It means to plead on behalf of another or others, or to intervene for the purpose of producing agreement. See, this intercession prayer is a binding and a loosing. It's a commanding prayer. It's an authoritative prayer in the presence of Almighty God. Romans 8:26, we read the verse already, but it says the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings. In verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Intercession prayer is a powerful place that begins to bind up the powers of the enemy and loose people from chains of darkness. It's intercession. It's pleading. When my boys were young, my wife and I spent a lot of time pleading for them. God keep them. God cover them. God bless them. God work in their lives. We still do that for our family, which now includes two wonderful daughter-in-laws and two beautiful granddaughters. And we cry out, we intercede. God, for them, intervene, work, move. We plead for them. Intercession doesn't mean we cannot plead for ourselves, because we can. But it's a pleading before the throne of God, because the Spirit knows, and the Spirit will always, our intercession will always involve the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows already what the will of God is. Amen. Intercession. The will of God. Number five. This is the last point. Number five. In this progression of fervent prayer, there is the conversation prayer and the petition prayer and the supplication, the humbling prayer and intercession prayer. It's the binding and loosing prayer. But there is, number five, desperate prayer. Fervent prayer carries a desperation with it. Not a desperation out of fear or anxiety or out of an emotional state of wonderment of what's going on, but desperate prayer is that of a warfare prayer. It's a prayer that stands up before God and says, God, I will stand between heaven and earth. In fact, the Bible says that the saints of God, the priests, even the ministers of the Lord, are to weep between the porch and the altar and say, spare thy people, O God, and give not your people to reproach. To pray, to cry out to God. Desperation prayer. It's warfare prayer. Nobody likes to go to battle. Nobody likes to fight. Let me rephrase that. Believers like it easier to just go into the presence of God and not have to fight for anything. And you know what I'm talking about. But there's a place of desperation that in the years of my life, I've had to go to my prayer closet. I've had to get at the altar, and I've had to fight for some things. I had to fight for my healing. I had to fight for the power of God touching my life. I had to fight for my kids. I had to fight for people to be delivered from drugs and alcohol. I had to fight for people's healing. I had to fight for the move of the Holy Spirit. I had to fight for revival. I had to make war against the powers of darkness. Tell the enemy his place. Desperate prayer is this. It's extreme. It is serious prayer. Not that the others are important, but when you come to a place of desperation, you know in your heart that if God doesn't do something, something evil may take place or take over. Desperation is when I go to the throne room, is God, I know that you are greater than everything in this earth, that you are greater than the powers of darkness. You are greater than all the wars and rumors of wars and everything that's going on. God, you are greater. And unless you intervene, and God says, come on, keep praying. Because that isn't your desperation, that's my desperation. And I've got to have a church. I've got to have somebody who will get on their face and cry out to God in desperation for the revival fire of God in the earth. Come on, praise Him. Listen to this. Desperation means rash or violence because of despair. Despair is a loss of hope or an attack upon our hope. But desperate prayer is revival prayer. Revival prayer is where we pour our heart out before God. It's fervent desperation prayer is when we have passion for God Himself. God, I've got to have you. I need more of God. Desperation, fervent prayer is relentless pursuit to know God. It is continual chase for God's presence to be revealed. fervent desperation prayer is the expression of the spirit that longs for God Almighty. Hallelujah. God, I long for you. I've got to have you. I need you in my life. Nothing else in this world will satisfy. God, I've got to have you. I'm desperate in fervent prayer that's on fire in my spirit. It's fire shut up in my bone. It's reviving prayer. It is submission to the work of the Spirit in the inner man. It is desirous of new character of God on the inside. It is ready for personal transformation. God, here I am. I'm desperate. I'm fervent. I've got to have transformation. I need change. Are you here? Let me give you a few more. Desperation prayer is anticipating the Spirit to totally consume our heart. It's expecting the manifestation of God's nature in our inner man. It is a crying out for God, which is the strongest of fervent prayer. It is the glowing of His glory. It is the flowing of His anointing.